On Monday's podcast of this week, we talked about concerns and issues related to the us versus them mentality, the tribalism, and some of the divisiveness that is kind of happening. And today we're going to branch from that just a little bit and talk about the culture of bullies and the culture of, again, us versus them from the perspective of what we're doing with how we interact with each other and engage with each other.
That's right. We talked about tribalism on Monday and how these divisions are creating distress and conflict. Yesterday we talked about we must allow children to fail, okay, in order for them to gain confidence. Today is related to both of those. Mm-hmm. It's about bullying, and the author, Amy Banks, begins by talking about Phoebe Prince. Mm-hmm. You probably remember. Mm-hmm. This was a real famous news story.
Right.
Got a lot of news coverage. Phoebe Prince was a young girl from Ireland, mm-hmm. moved to Massachusetts.
Right.
She was savagely bullied, mm-hmm. physically and socially on social media and Snapchat and Instagram. Every way that she could be bullied, she was bullied. And apparently, she crossed some line where, as a freshman, she was dating a senior football player. And I guess you're not supposed to do that in Massachusetts, so that got her into some trouble. But even kids who liked her, who were friends with her, joined in, mm-hmm. In the bullying. Right. And she goes, so she talks about the sadness and the distress over that because Phoebe eventually took her own life.
Right.
Okay. And she talks about two boys, Seth and Asher, who were 13, who also committed suicide because they were bullied because they were gay. Okay. Mm-hmm. The kids were, classmates and schoolmates were teasing them because they were gay. And so what she says is, these are not rogue incidents. Mm-hmm. This is she refers to it as the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
This is a huge, huge problem.
Right.
And that's what this article is about, is why is it happening and why is it so common? Why is bullying so common?
Yeah, and it's a longer article, but it's certainly worth the read because she builds a good case, mm-hmm. I guess you could say. Again, as you said, starting with these examples of how bullying leads to travesty with individuals committing suicide or, other kinds of self-harm.
Right.
And attributes much of that to, again, the us versus them, the acknowledging and emphasizing and almost demonizing difference.
The other, right, that's
you
right.
Know, if you're not like us, if you're different than us, if you think differently, if you look differently, if you act differently, if you believe differently, then you are one of them, and we don't.
That's right.
We see that as a conflict, as a confrontation.
Right, and that's what earlier in the week we talked about tribalism.
Right.
Okay, that's exactly what tribalism is. It's an us versus them. The other thing she does in this article, which is interesting, and it's something we teach in our introductory psychology classes, is there's Western culture is individualistic. We focus on the individual. And the worst example of that is the Kardashians, you know, that these people who, they don't do anything, they're not good at anything, but they are just popular, okay? Mm-hmm. And so it's individualistic and very competitive, that you're always competing with somebody.
Right.
And you have to get yours. You have to be better than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Eastern cultures traditionally have been more cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have individualistic versus cooperative, and we talk about that in our classes, that one's culture determines, to a great extent, determines your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And in our culture, because it's an individualistic culture, we tend to be competing with each other and comparing ourselves. And she said the problem with an individualistic culture is that you're always comparing yourself to everybody else. And the goal is to get ahead, you know, get the most toys, get the biggest house, get the best car, and you're always comparing yourself with others.
Right. Mm-hmm. And as we make those comparisons, again, any time that we feel as though we're being challenged.
Right.
And usually we tend to feel as though we're being challenged by an other, them.
Right.
We have to attack them. We tend to oppose them sometimes much more overtly than we should, or is certainly necessary. And that may be the source, or is likely the source, of much of the bullying and confrontation that we see, not just with kids, but also with adults.
Right. And she's saying that in this highly competitive culture, the goal, you know, you have to be better than the rest. It's not about you being the best that you can be. And that's what we talked about with confidence on yesterday's podcast, is that we want kids to develop confidence in their own abilities. That should be the goal.
Right.
Instead, they're focusing on, I have to be better than you.
Right.
Okay. And she sees that because that exacerbates those divisions, that tribalism starts, is that I have to be better than everybody. And then parents, if they're caught in that same kind of competitive culture, parents are always positioning their children or trying to position their children. And so you have this, well, I have to get all A's because I have to go to the best, I have to get into the best college, you know. And there's this frenzy for college seniors.
Right.
I mean, it begins in elementary school where I have to go to this elementary school and this middle school, and I have to be in these classes, and I have to have this teacher, and I have to take, you know, instead of having 24 credits to graduate, I need 30 some credits to graduate, and they have to be AP in college classes because those boost my GPA, because I have to be better than everybody else. Okay. And that drive to be better, that constant, that's the message we're giving children, is that you have to be better than everybody else.
Right.
And what she's concerned about in this article is that that competitive zeal, that competitive frenzy, is what's driving the bullying. Is that you can turn somebody else into an object very easily when your culture is telling you you have to be better than everybody. It's easy then to marginalize, to denigrate, to diminish somebody who's different.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have talked to some teenagers and high school students, and they talk about success. And I ask, how do you define success?
Right.
And
right.
they pause for a moment and say, well, I just have to do better than other people on these tests or in these classes. Mm-hmm. And that brings a level of performance, or expects a level of performance that you can't predict, because you have no idea how good someone else will do, how well someone else is going to perform. And so it again kind of creates this scenario of false or empty competition that is that leads to, you know, again, everybody's in opposition, everybody's a foe, and so we have to push them away, or we have to, you know, be confrontational with them, or we have to, you know, sometimes this leads to bullying. And
that's right. If you're and in this competitive society, comparison and judging is inevitable. I mean, you have to do, you walk in, no matter where you go, you walk into a room, you're immediately aware of what everybody else has and who has the biggest house, and you're constantly comparing people. And instead of children learning how to become confident and accomplished and secure in who they are and what they can do, they're constantly comparing themselves to other. We've talked many times about when you go on Facebook and you see other people living these wonderful lives, you know, and you compare, you always compare unfavorably.
Right.
You know, your life never looks that, can never look that good, or you can, but so you're always comparing yourself to others. And I have young patients who are doing perfectly fine in school, but then they get a friend or they get to know somebody else who is doing better than they are, you know, they're, and well, you don't know anything about that person's family. Maybe maybe the mother is an English teacher. Maybe the dad is an engineer and has this ability to help his kids in math.
Or maybe mom and dad are doing all the work for them.
Which happens. I mean, there are parents who do their children's homework. And you don't know what's going on in that house. And it's so sad to me that when children come in and say, well, my friends are doing this, and that has nothing to do with what you're doing. You know, you have to do what you can do as well as you can do it. And they, it's very difficult in this culture mm-hmm. to move them away from that idea.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it does happen on both sides. When yes. you have these students who say, I need to perform as well as these others that I want to be right. associated with. And those others that they associate with say, I only want to associate with people who perform as well as I do, or right. you know, the good kids right. or
the
whatever.
Top group.
Right. And so, you know, you have it is mm-hmm. it does happen from both sides right. of that equation.
Right.
And it is a manifestation of that individualistic culture right. that we have.
Now the contradiction here is that we want, in yesterday's part, when we talk about participation trophies, okay, we don't want to give everybody a trophy. We right. want people to earn it,
mm-hmm.
okay? But we don't want to put kids in competition with each other,
right.
okay? And that's the problem that we're creating, mm-hmm. is that we create these competitions. Schools have always been sorting machines. Since mm-hmm. the first school was started, it was a sorting machine.
Right.
And you sort kids out based mm-hmm. on how well they do in school. Jefferson and Washington talked about this mm-hmm. at the beginning of our country. You know, how should we educate people?
Right.
You are bound to, Jefferson said, let's put them all in school and the leaders will rise to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So schools have always sorted kids that way, but it should be done we shouldn't give participation trophies, but we should not be giving the message that you have to be better than everybody else, mm-hmm. that you're somehow mm-hmm. in competition right. with everybody else for a limited number of jobs mm-hmm. or a limited number of college mm-hmm. Places.
Right.
But that's how everybody approaches it.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in a big city like New York
mm-hmm.
and you're wealthy,
mm-hmm.
it starts at preschool.
Right.
You know, you have to yeah. put your child in this preschool so that she can go to this kindergarten, so that she can go to this elementary school,
right.
because this very high pressure elementary school will get her into the middle school,
right.
and on and on and on it goes, and there's this constant competition. Well, those kids are being raised to be competitive,
mm-hmm.
and with competition comes separation.
Right.
You know, you're separating kids, and with separation comes distress. And from right. a psychological standpoint, what's being created is distress.
Absolutely.
And the distress affects your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she talks about that at the end of the article. We don't right. really need to go into it here, but she said this really does change the brain in significant ways.
Right.
And it's the distress that comes from competition.
Right.
So competition can be healthy, but it also can be toxic.
Right.
And what she talks about here is toxic competition that then leads to bullying.
Right. Yeah. And that distress, I was just going to say, that distress leads to bullying, or it can certainly lead to the victimization
right.
by bullying.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the inevitable or the unfortunate consequences that come from that, as we heard from the case studies, the Phoebe and,
right.
And all of that, mm-hmm. You know, took their lives.
Right. And you know, one of the things she does mention is that there's a brain structure called the cingulate cortex that sits on top of most of you know about the corpus callosum, the band of fibers that
connect. Most of you know that.
Yeah, but it connects the two hemispheres. And right above that, there's some tissue called the cingulate cortex. Well, the cingulate cortex responds to pain, mm-hmm. physical pain,
mm-hmm.
but it also responds to social exclusion.
Right.
So the same part of the brain that
right.
that deals with pain deals with social isolation.
Right.
Because we're social creatures. And mm-hmm. so those two things exist near each other. And so social isolation can be as harmful as painful stimulation.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it affects the same brain structure.
Yeah.
Okay. So not to be taken lightly.
It's not.
This competition business.
Yeah.
Not just harmful, it can be lethal. And that's what she ends with, that we need to be careful about the kind of competition we foster in our children.
Definitely, definitely so. All right, that's it then for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.